I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The drive is live.
We are capable. I mean, that's kind of how I got a wife.
Bro.
Like, I sold to her that I was once upon a time ago very capable of doing a job.
Yeah.
And
more than capable. When you outkick your coverage the way we have, man, it shows we are more than capable.
More
man.
Than capable. But it's about sustainability
and consistency.
You know,
yeah.
I feel like I've kind of hit a bump in the road at times. And
who doesn't?
You know, I need a little push. Need a little push sometimes, but I tell you what, I would be way more excited about Rocket preseason basketball if I knew for a fact that Kevin Durant was going to be playing Rocket preseason basketball
tonight. But it's cool, man. You want to see all of the Rockets who are going to be playing basketball for the Rockets this year, and you did get to see Kevin Durant last week.
I did.
And
I need more.
And we talked about it, I feel like, not long after the game.
Yeah.
Right? So we had a good time with that, and man, we had good vibes from that. I don't think that there's any kind of mystery as far as what Kevin Durant is going to provide to you and what he's going to mean to the team. You want to see what everybody else looks like. I'm excited about everybody that's going to wear a Rockets uniform because it's one of the more exciting Rockets seasons that we're going to get, at least yeah. early on, until they prove otherwise.
Rockets. Let's go, Rockets.
Let's do it.
Maldi.
Let's go.
I miss Maldi.
Maldi knew the vibes, man. One thing about it, until he went Fromber on me and did the extensions on his hair, it's really the only time that Maldi got sideways with me.
Yeah.
Wasn't a glowing green light for base stealers either.
Well, you know what? Have we come to find out and realize that it's not necessarily all on the catcher? Okay? It's
no, not all not on the catcher. Always, but...
Cool. It's just not, like...
It's rough
I don't know,
year.
Man. Did you see the other night? I think it was game one where Cal Raleigh threw somebody out. And it was just like a perfect ball to J.P. Crawford.
Perfect ball.
And he didn't have to do anything. Basically, the throw carried him into the runner's thigh.
Mm-hmm.
It was that good. I mean, it was that good.
It.
I mean, it is a lot on the throw.
That is also the MVP.
Fair enough.
Of the league.
It was a special throw.
He's very, very good. We'll get to them here in a little bit, man. But... good to be here, man. Sean Bajani, Brandon Scott, Tyler Milner. It's good to actually be all in two rooms and able to see each other without having to worry about technology and doing the show out on remote. So,
hey, boys.
Technology should be pretty good here in the studio, man.
Yeah, it's going to be good, man. We're going to have a good time today. If you'd like to be a part of it, 713-572-4610. You can hit us up via the text line. Join the chat, Twitch, YouTube, watch the show. A whole bit. It'll be a lot of fun. Last night, I was not anticipating it being a great sports night outside of like playoff baseball. But you and I were talking, and I'm sure T-Mill was kind of like this too. He has to monitor like his badass bets because he was on a heater like 12 for 12. I don't think he went perfect last night, but pretty damn close, right?
Our perfect streak came to an end, but 3 for 4, suckers.
Ah, 3 for 4.
Let's go.
A 750 winning percentage is not bad at all.
Yeah, not bad at all.
But, dude,
good for you and your pockets, T-Mill.
Between Thank you. Bills and the Falcons and the Bears and the Commandos and playoff baseball last night, holy crap, what a night.
Yeah, so the thing about it for me is, like, normally when you get these Monday night doubleheaders, a lot of times at least one of them is not very good. And so you can kind of take one for granted, and whichever one that Joe Buck and Troy Aikman is on is probably the one that you're wanting to watch the most.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one had intrigue, and it, what was weird about it is, okay, you've got two Monday night football games that are both intriguing on the same night when you have playoff baseball, if you're inclined to watch it, and you and I both are. So we were both trying to do, or we were both trying to do both things, right, at the same time. But it was worth it, man. Like, I thought that the Falcons, for me, sort of arriving, like the Monday Night Football.
Where'd they come from?
Atlanta Falcons arrival. Like, they're here. That's an organization that's invested in young players, and they're never really taken seriously until it's time to. It's like, yeah, they're like the ultimate show me franchise. You know, they always got some talent, but they're in the NFC South. You never actually really know if the Falcons are going to be good. You look up now, they look like they could actually be pretty good, taking down the Bills on Monday Night Football.
Dude, Reggie had it earlier. I think it was Reggie. He said, what, the Falcons are number two in total defense and number one in total offense now or something like that. Like, they're up there.
That it's believable. They've got, like, Louis Riddick was making the point on the broadcast last night about how Terry Fontenot, their GM, has invested. We know all of their offensive players, right? The Bijan Robinsons and, of course, Kyle Pitts, Drake London's of the world. Yeah, and obviously their quarterback is in his second year, Michael Penix. But they've also invested a lot on the defensive side of the ball in first-round picks and acquisitions. They have taken some swings on the defensive side of the ball. And the big thing about Atlanta, which was interesting to see last night, this kind of coming in, coming to fruition, was that this was a big year in their development, right? They've spent a lot on a lot of players, and their quarterback is now in year two. When are you supposed to see the signs? Oh, it's materializing in a winning record 6 weeks through the season and a marquee win in Monday Night Football against the MVP.
I turned it on last night, and I was like, dude, are you kidding me? Are you kidding? Atlanta was up 21-7 at half. It should have been, I say should have been, it could have been 28-7. That play where the dude stepped out of bounds, like, at the 2 yard line as time expired. I mean, it was wild.
And the swing there for them to not get that score. And then on the other end to open up with a score.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, okay, felt like a damn near a 14-point swing. Like the missing of seven and them getting seven on the other end to start the half.
Well, and shout out to the Bills last night defensively to hold them to just 3 points in the second half. Like, that's pretty wild. I told T-Mill on the show yesterday, I'm like, because that game was a part of his best bets. And I said, what's the line? He said 3.5. And he was taking the under, which was at like 39.5, right?
On the Bills game?
Yeah, yeah.
I was on under 50.
That was under 50?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The 39 one, though, that was a recent bet. So okay. You were just...
Oh, yeah, that was the other one that you actually hit on over the weekend, I think it was. But I saw the 3.5. I'm like, whoa, that's fishy to me. And then... And result, 24-14, Bills lose. I don't know how Bills fan feels about, like, their team right now. Like, you can't feel too terrible. You lost to a pretty damn good Atlanta team. Bijan Robinson and Drake London last night combined for almost 400 all-purpose yards.
Oh, yeah. Bijan Robinson on his own had, like, 20-something touches for almost 300 or for 200-and-something yards.
It's like,
right?
186. And then he caught another 68 yards.
You know, he was insane. And not just the numbers, but the plays, the way it looks, how special he is. I've been saying it since, you know, he was at Texas and when he was in the draft. And remember, this was the year after Damian Pierce's aforementioned rookie year that we were talking about in the toss earlier, right? I'm like, look, if Bijan Robinson is there at 12, or if there's a way to get him in that mid-round, go out and get him and don't let it be because you got to – Damian Pierce, or you feel good about your running back position.
How do we feel about that now?
Or in Tyler's case, no offense, Tyler, but I don't draft running backs in the first round. I get it. I understand.
That's the majority.
It's a fine philosophy. We ain't talking about any old, and I know you're an Aggie, and this is a Longhorn, and you don't want to admit it, but you guys had one like this in your own right, right? Like, you've seen you've seen what with the in A-Chain, right? Like a perfect example of this, of a running back that you just say, hey, you know what? Rules be damned. This is a game breaker. You go out and get him. And sure enough, Bijan Robinson is having that type of year, that type of breakout year. And, of course, Monday Night Football was a perfect way to showcase. It's really the entire night to me was about, on one end, you got the MVP and Josh Allen. Mm-hmm. And then the other three quarterbacks are all second-year guys on either relevant teams or with relevant pathways.
Yeah.
Like in the case of Caleb Williams, I don't know how relevant the Bears are going to ultimately be, but the number one pick from 2 years ago is relevant. The guy who left the Lions and was their sort of offensive guru to become the head coach of the Bears and lead Caleb Williams, that's a story, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to follow them. I'm going to obviously follow Jaden Daniels, right? And I'm going to follow this Michael Penix thing and the Falcons and what they're doing.
I'm definitely going to be following Penix. I mean, that's a guy that I wanted to be good, you know, so badly. And not just because the Falcons spent a bleep ton of money on Kirk Cousins to not play him, you know, and draft this guy. But, I mean, come on. Like, who doesn't want to see, like, you know, the influx of new, young quarterback, athletic quarterbacks, you know, flourishing in the NFL? I want to see the best possible talent, you know, spread out as much as we possibly can. Read this headline. I screenshotted something on my phone. That's via Twitter last night. What does that headline say, B. Scott?
Bears drop heartbreaker 24-22 to Commanders in Monday Night Thriller.
AI sucks, okay? This was at 10:14 p.m., okay? 10:14 p.m. The Commandos and Bears game ended at 10:22 p.m. Central Time.
Yeah.
All right? That headline, that piece of crap Grok story or whatever was generated like almost 10 minutes before the end of the game.
Yeah.
When the Bears had the ball and great field position. I think they took over their last possession like at their own 40-yard line or whatever.
Sean.
Mm-hmm.
AI is operating in real time. So yeah, it sucks.
Come on, man.
But it's operating in real time. And if we want to do AI and analytics, what was the win probability for them at that point?
I don't know. They were down by two and it says drop as in it already happened. It doesn't say Bears will drop or could drop heartbreaker.
It's prepared. AI sucks at being a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it is programmed to do bleep like that in real time.
Here's why I'm mad at that. I'm still mad about this.
We're screwed as a society. I'm not disagreeing with that.
15 hours later,
That's how AI works, man. It's operating in real time.
I told you, I'm trying to follow all these things, all these sporting events last night, right? Okay? Knew I had a show to do today, and it's like, I don't want to miss anything. I flip on the game, and I see at the time, I don't know what it was, 2:28 left in the fourth quarter. Okay, Bears got the ball. And then I look on Twitter and I see this headline and I'm like, ah, crap. I'm behind. Like my wife must have pressed pause or something on the TV. And so I click go to live TV and the TV doesn't budge. And then I look on Disney Sports and the clock is the same as what I'm seeing on the TV. And I'm like, what the hell's going on around here?
Was this on the Grok tab, whatever it is, the GROK?
Go to trending on Twitter, and that's like the very first thing.
That's like the last place where you need to be trying to get updates, man, because it's just trying to...
Well, I wasn't looking for an update. It was just there,
okay,
and
I got you. Because that's the algorithm. It's just trying to algorithm.
Read the fine print. The fine print says, this story is a summary of posts on X and may evolve over time. Asses. Grok can make mistakes. Verify its outputs.
Yeah,
gee, thanks.
Sorry, Bijani.
Yeah. This is what happens when an old is trying to use like 2025 technology.
You're not that old, though.
Well, apparently I am.
So a little. Okay.
How old are you?
You want to
43 this month.
43 year olds are using AI, man.
Yeah.
Oh, you are.
Thanks.
I took a class, not a class, but like a. It's like a seminar on using AI for parenting.
Yeah.
And I mean, for like helping you with like how to help your kids with their homework.
Okay.
How to talk to kids about sensitive subjects.
See, I could be dangerous.
Maybe things that you...
You could get some bad advice there.
Well, anytime you do any kind of AI training, it does tell you to, you know, self-edit or to insert the human element into the AI and make sure that you don't just take the AI for
advice. Could evolve over time.
Yes.
Like you get the fine print of that.
I know I told you to say this, but yes, now it's time for you to say that.
It can make mistakes. Make sure you verify its outputs.
The worst thing you can do is completely rely on the AI to be the end all be all.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you can't do. AI can kind of steer you in the right direction or help you with, like, you know, again, the direction or where you're trying to go, but it can't be the end all be all.
Lesson learned, okay? I'll just say that.
Yeah, man, don't be getting your sports updates from AI, man. Watch sports like a real man, Bajani.
Do you see these
What's
ads?
What's the matter with you?
Do you see these ads all over the place now? It's like, oh, you can have AI, you know, trade stocks for you. You can have AI come up with on-the-spot analysis and make your Sunday picks, you know, via the NFL. It's like, who in the actual you-know-what is doing that right now? Like, anybody with, like, bleep you money that just doesn't have the time. It's like, hey, AI, make my picks for me this weekend.
Man, you'd be surprised.
I know what happens. But it's got to.
And again, they use it, and then they review the picks. They don't just, it's not like auto draft, right, in like, your fantasy draft,
mm-hmm.
where you just, like, turn on auto draft and you don't have, you don't even worry about it. You just let the computer draft for you. It's not like that. You use it for, like, again, it's advice. And then you're like, okay, does this make sense? Does this work?
Yeah.
They spell this right?
I guess. If you got the time to, like, where you need a spell check, essentially, you know, and fact check what AI is giving
you.
It
makes you feel like you could have just done it yourself.
Do your own damn research. Yeah. Listen to Sports Radio 610. We'll talk about all the games.
There you go. And the AI.
And the AI, yeah. Speaking of games, Dodgers and Brewers last night, man. Okay. I so wanted this particular play to carry much more weight than it actually did. Take a listen.
For two, and Muncy skies one to center field. Hit well. This one's got a chance. Frelick going back to the wall. He leaps. It's in and out of his glove, and he caught it. And now chaos on the bases. Might have a play at the plate. The throw. Not in time. No, he's out. He's out. It's a forced play at the plate.
All right, so scenario. Bases loaded. One out. Top of the fourth inning, the Dodgers' Max Muncy is at the dish. He launches a ball to center field, and then that happens, okay? The runner on third base for the Dodgers was Teoscar Hernandez, former Astro. He doesn't score. Why did he not score? Because the Brewers center fielder leapt up over the wall.
Yeah.
Ball hits his glove, inside of his glove, bounces out, ricochets off the wall back into his glove. So Teoscar Hernandez and the third base coach are over there looking at this thing like, oh, go. No, he caught it. Tag up. Go. And then he doesn't make it to home plate in time.
I don't feel like I've ever seen a play like that. In the outfield, I've never seen the ball bounce that way, if you will.
Here's the thing.
So, I mean, I don't know if I would have known how to react either.
I did not know the ball hit the wall until very late last night. I watched that same replay, the bird's eye view and the TV broadcast, I don't know, at least 10 times. I did not know the ball hit the wall. I'm thinking, you know what? I can't fault the third base coach, and I can't fault Teoscar Hernandez for not scoring, and I can't really fault the runner on second for not making it to third base tagging up, because you thought he caught it the first time, and then you have to go back and tag up after you think he catches it the second time. All the while, it was never a catch to begin with,
yeah,
because the ball hit the wall. It's in play. It's a live ball. And now I'm just thinking to myself, boy, why couldn't you just tag up? It's bases loaded. It's one out. Just tag up. Everybody go back to your bases and tag up, because you're not going to go second to home on a play like that. You just need to go third to home, second to third, and first to second.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah. My only excuse that I would make is them not exactly knowing what happened to the ball either once it popped up out of the glove. Because, as you mentioned, you looked at that at multiple angles, multiple times, and you still weren't exactly sure what happened to that play. Or with that play, with the benefit of replay, with the benefit of not being on the base pass and having to make a split-time decision, right? So them, the only excuse that I can think of is that they genuinely did not know what was happening.
Yeah.
And therefore did not know what to do. If you gave them the benefit of hindsight, they would say the exact same thing that you just said as well.
The guy that had the best view of the whole damn thing was the runner on second base, though.
Yeah.
And he was out by a mile.
But even you know? Then, it seemed unclear of what happened.
I know.
That strange of a play. That's what made it so fun to watch. It's like, well, wait, what exactly just happened there? Because I don't think I've ever seen that before.
2-1, man. 2-1. Dodgers get the victory last night. And I so wanted the Brewers to win. And I wanted to talk about, like, you know, look, this play meant everything to the Dodgers' fate last night, and it ended up meaning nothing. Good for them, right? Just them.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Whatever.
We'll get into, you know what we could be potentially looking at is a Mariners and Dodgers World Series here. And then we're going to have a conundrum as baseball fans of not either one of those teams, just very pissed off and angry and frustrated and maybe depressed Astro fans. Who are we going to root for? Are we going to watch? Are we going to not watch?
Would it be rude to... Or would it be wrong to root for COVID and for the world to shut down?
For COVID.
Before either one of those teams.
COVID 21.
I'm only joking, guys. I'm not rooting for COVID. I'm just saying.
He's B. Scott. He likes to joke a lot. I'm Sean Bajani, Tyler Milner. We are The Drive in for Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner. Coming up next, it's game week, man. Let's get to a little Texan convo. Texans Seahawks Monday Night Football. How will the Texans respond to the sense of urgency this week? We'll get into it next. Stay put at Sports Radio 610.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Oh, hey, love your shoes. If you're hearing this, this is your sign to try those on. Trust us, you can totally pull them off. In fact, try on every shoe here if you want. We won't stop you. In our house, you've got unlimited freedom to play. And hey, fall is the perfect season to do, wear, be whatever you want. And with tons of shoes that get you at prices that get your budget, we'll give you something to brag about. So go ahead, try them on. Let us surprise you.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speedtest Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
And for Ron Hughley and Clint Sterner, I'm Sean Bajani and B. Scott in the house today. We've got you till 6 o'clock. Tyler Milner here as well. Game week, Texans and Seahawks. You got to wait that extra day and, well, really day and a half because they don't kick off until 9 o'clock Central Time on Monday Night Football.
Bro, I'm going to have to take a nap before. I ain't complaining. I'm just saying. Nine o'clock for the game to start?
I know.
Yo.
I know. But it's going to start eventually, and it's going to be great. It's going to be fun. And there's a sense of urgency, like I'd said, you know, before leading into this game. And B. Scott, you tell me how you feel, man, because I am very much, you know this about me, a mathematical, you know, guy when it comes to early season football, right? D'Amico Ryan's even said it, and he'll say it until he's blue in the face. It's early season, you know, whatever. You know what? Early's fine. But 0-3 is 0-3, and the math is against you if you're trying to accomplish, like, getting to the playoffs and stuff like that. Never mind winning your division, which just got that much harder this past weekend because the Colts, they're now 5-1. And even though the Jags, you know, lost, they're still a game ahead of you in the standings. And you were off this week, so that didn't, like, it helped you a little bit, but not as much as you'd like. You have to wait. And by the way, both of those teams play this weekend as well. And so you'll have even more of a sample size in front of you to see what you have to go get that already may feel insurmountable for the Texans. But opening as a 3.5-point underdog going to Seattle, given, you know, the state of where you're at in this division, did you get actually more concerned? And do you feel a greater sense of urgency for the Texans to, you know, must win this weekend or on Monday night because of what the Colts did?
Yeah, I would say the more that I watch the Colts play football, the more I get concerned about the Colts.
Yeah.
Because that was one of my takeaways from the weekend was like, okay, look, it's one thing to see the Seahawks do what they did and know that that's your next opponent. But it's another thing to put into context the team that you're actually chasing, and that's the Colts. I mean, you mentioned both of these teams being ahead of the Texans in the standings, but it's the Colts that look like the most legitimate operation. I mean, more and more, you're like, okay, the Daniel Jones thing, it does look like he's the perfect fit with Shane Steichen and that he does operate a lot better. Kind of similar to Sam Darnold, where, like, when everything around him is really, really good, he's allowed to flourish, and he's got some special qualities that I think Darnold doesn't have that allows him to be even better within this system, within the Colts system. Mm-hmm. So I'm concerned about the Daniel Jones thing, not just being a flash in the pan, not just being a cute story, but him being a legitimate quarterback and that being a legitimate football team now that it has a quarterback, because that's been the thing that's held them back, right, when we're talking about the Colts. Also the fact that they can still run the football the way that they always have, man, when Jonathan Taylor's healthy. Yeah. And he is that right now. And he's making a case for best running back in the league, even in a league that has Saquon Barkley. And, of course, Derrick Henry's not having necessarily the season that he's capable of having. But he's in a group of really, really good running backs and might be the very best of them. And, of course, like we talked about, their passing game is what it's been. And their defense is legit. Like, they seem to be an all-around, overall, complete and complimentary football team. The more that I watch the Colts, the more concerned that I am. And that's aside from whatever the Texans are doing themselves, which I feel good about. I feel good about where the Texans are right now based on how they've played over the last couple of games. But just watching the Colts, it is concerning.
Yeah, you look, they're definitely, the Texans are trending in the right direction, and you'll take a 44-10 blowout victory over a team in the state that the Ravens were in, in week five. But you feel better, you have to feel better about it than, you know, eking a 20-19 victory out or something like that over them, which at the point leading into that game, I just said, dude, you just need a win. I don't care how you do it, just get a win. Yes. I feel better about the Texans knowing that they got a 44-10 win over.
Or how about not punting until late in the game after you put your
quarter.
In the fourth quarter when you've put your backup quarterback in the game.
That was fantastic as well.
Yeah.
Here's the thing that really concerns me about the game on Monday night is what Seattle is doing defensively to the opposition. You know, they beat Jacksonville this past weekend 20-12, but here's what they did to Trevor Lawrence. They pressured him 33 times, hit him 16 times, sacked him 7 times. And you talk about you know, the run game. And what they did not allow, they allowed just 3.1 yards per carry to the Seattle Seahawks. And knowing that that is a really solid football team that is hosting you on a Monday night in a difficult place to play anytime, how does that make you feel as a Texan, knowing, again, that, yeah, you might feel good about this team going into this week based upon what they've done the last five quarters or so? Do you feel confident that they can get the job done in what is, and I think for the foreseeable future, B. Scott, is a must-win type of scenario for the Texans?
Man, I actually think it's a really fun pregame matchup, like a game to talk about ahead of time, because we're talking about this really good Seattle front, talking about their defensive front, mm-hmm. against a Texans offensive line that has played better as of late, right? Like, that's been the question, we know this, about the team for about a year now. Like, yeah. What's the deal with the offensive line? They got to figure this thing out. And over the last couple of weeks, we've seen progress with the offensive line, but the issues for a long time have been along the interior, and the strength of Seattle's defensive front is the interior. It's this Byron Murphy kid out of Texas who, like, had a quiet rookie season. Some would even say a disappointing rookie season, mm-hmm. but has shown up, has at least 4 sacks on the season. Was their leader in this game, or was the engine behind what they were able to do, those pressures that you're talking about against Trevor Lawrence. He is the main character of that group. And so, hey, the strength of their team is arguably the weakness, or is it the weakness of your team? Like, we've seen some progress out of guys like Ed Ingram, or maybe not even progress, but just like surprise performances from him.
Highest rated guard, in according to PFF, in the league.
And so is this guy going to be trying to pick on Andrews and Scruggs, you know, and have we seen enough from them to feel good about them against a guy of this caliber? I don't know that you actually, like, it's a fun thing to talk about ahead of time. I don't know how fun it's going to be to watch up close and personal when it's time for it to happen. I would say I'm a little bit concerned about it, but it is a key matchup to watch for.
Yeah, well, we'll get into some other key matchups too, because D'Amico Ryan spoke earlier this afternoon, and he had on one major thing that we need to be looking for in this game on Monday night. We'll get to that amongst other things. Next, it's The Drive. Ron Hughley, Clint Sterner out, Sean Bajani, B. Scott, and stay put. It's
every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Did you know that parents rank teaching financial literacy as the toughest life skill? That's where Greenlight comes in, the debit card and money app made for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and track spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn how to earn, save, and spend responsibly, while parents have peace of mind knowing smart money habits are being built with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Now, JSN has done an outstanding job this year for Seattle. Darnell has found a nice target to throw through, and he's made that entire offense go. Whether you're covering him or not, he's making explosive plays game after game. He continues to show up, and you know, JSN, he's definitely having a Pro Bowl caliber year. He's doing an outstanding job.
That was D'Amico Ryans from earlier this afternoon. B. Scott, Sean Bajani, and for the fellas on the drive. D'Amico talking about Jaxon Smith-Njigba. And I'm looking at his numbers, B. I don't know if you've glanced at them, but through six games of the regular season so far, for him, four games of more than 103 yards receiving. In all six games, he's had at least one explosive that has gone for 36-plus yards.
That's the thing I've noticed. Like, I don't know the total numbers and the overall numbers, mm-hmm. but I know that every week when I check in on the Seattle Seahawks, Jaxon Smith-Njigba has gone off for an explosive.
Yeah.
Whether it's 40, 50, 60. In this case, I think it was like a 61-yard play.
Yes, sir.
That kind of set the tone for Seattle in this game over the weekend. Every week, it seems like this guy has a big play. That is one that doesn't surprise me because that happens routinely now.
Yeah. Looking at his catch percentage, it's routinely been above 80%. This past weekend, he caught 61.5% is the catch percentage of the balls thrown to him. Eight catches, 13 targets. His numbers are absolutely ridiculous. 162 yards this past weekend against Jacksonville, 132 against Tampa Bay. That's what the Texans have to deal with. Now, hey, look, do they have guys that are more than capable of handling that type of production from a receiver? Yeah, sure. I tell you what, though, a guy who's been a little banged up, maybe nobody has benefited more from this bye week than one Derek Stingley. You need that to be the case if you're the Texans, but you feel pretty good about Derek Stingley, Kalen Bullock, Kamari Lassiter, you know, this entire Texans secondary, which once upon a time ago, you felt really great about it when C.J. Gardner-Johnson was going to be a member of it, and then turns out like he was much more of a hindrance than part of the solution.
Yeah, it turns out you might be better off, like you just said, much more of a hindrance than the solution. You might be better off without him than you were with
Definitely.
Him.
2-0.
But and maybe this, what I'm about to say, is a perfect example of that, but it is a thing to be concerned about when I'm talking about big explosive plays. Mm-hmm. Like, not just big plays on long, methodical drives or where they're kind of setting it up. Like, that 61-yarder that we're talking about from this game over the weekend was the first play of the drive. Like, it's a one-play, 61-yard drive, Darnold to Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and just like that, things can change for you. And so they've got that kind of ability. Another thing about Jaxon Smith-Njigba is that he's not just a slot receiver, or it's not that they just run routes over the middle. Like, they'll line him up anywhere, and he'll run just about any route, and they'll do anything with him. So he's that type of playmaker, that type of matchup issue. You do feel fortunate to have guys that are really good in coverage in the case of Derek Stingley, in the case of Kamari Lassiter, if he has to do it. But certainly you want both of them to be healthy when they've got this kind of challenge. And then again, Sam Darnold, Clint Kubiak, and this is something that D'Amico Ryans was also talking about. And, of course, we're familiar with the Kubiaks. And obviously mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans is familiar with Kubiak, but the thing that he does everywhere he goes and has done it so far with Seattle, he schemes guys open.
Yeah.
There are throw-in-the-ocean plays, whether it's busted coverages because how they're lined up or what they're doing is confusing other teams, or they're just actual matchup or mismatches that they're creating through scheme.
Yeah.
They are scheming guys open, and Sam Darnold is throwing it in the ocean, and even in the case when he doesn't, They got a dude in Jackson Smith and Jigba who will go up and get it anyway.
And one of the ways that they've been able to scheme guys open this season, I don't think very many teams have done this more than the Seattle Seahawks, is utilize the play action game. Yep. D'Amico Ryans was asked about that earlier this afternoon. Why the heck are the Seattle Seahawks so damn good and successful at utilizing play action?
And for Seattle, they're good at the play-action pass game because, you know, Kubiak's done a good job wherever he's been as a play caller. He's done a really good job of establishing the outside zone scheme, right? And with the outside zone scheme comes the keepers off of the outside zone action. So he's done a really good job of marrying both run game and passing game, meaning they both look very similar. So the play-action pass game works because of the offensive line and how they come off the football, right? How they make the run look exactly like the pass. It puts the second-level defenders in a bind where are you stepping up to defend the run, or are you, can you key it and diagnose it quick enough to understand that it's pass and now I need to drop in coverage? So they've done a really good job starting with Kenneth Walker in the run game. He's a really, really good running back in this league, and he's done a really nice job. And when you have him running the ball the way he runs it, right, guys are going to commit. And once you get guys to step up two or three steps off, and now Darnold's done a good job of getting on the edges, making good decisions down the field, and he's had a lot of guys open in those play-action passing concepts. That's why they've been successful as well. A lot of guys are wide open.
You know, when I think about, you know, play-action and teams that do that really well, and what I would be concerned with, you know, in regards to a defense, even the D'Amico Ryans coach defense, is discipline, right? You hear D'Amico talk about it all the time. You got to be disciplined with your eyes. And I listen to this maybe more closely from a, you know, cornerback and safety perspective. You hear those guys talk about how difficult it is to guard against some of the league's better receivers, right? And in this case, we're talking about Jackson Smith and Jigba. And it's not that first move that makes it really hard. It's that second or third effort in the course of a play, right? Well, you only have that time, you know, if you're a receiver to do all of those things, if you're executing play action really well, and if you've got a hell of a scheme. And right now, what D'Amico just laid out, what we've seen so far from the Seahawks, they do. They got a hell of a scheme. They execute it really well. But that's the number one concern for me. It's a little bit less about what the linebackers are doing with their eyes, because, you know, that's D'Amico's baby. And you got to trust, you know, guys like Toa Toa and Azeez Al-Shaair and EJ Speed. It's a little bit more about the elite receiver versus some pretty damn elite secondary guys that you've got to be really good on that second and third move, second and third effort in the course of a play and a play action.
Yeah, and the word or term eye discipline is probably going to be overused in that building, if I had to guess.
Definitely.
Being back this week.
Yeah.
Like, it is going to be hammered home, as it should be. And they're going to talk about eye discipline until they're blue in the face, because that is a key of defending this type of scheme. And the thing to point out here, and D'Amico Ryans is, you know, showing some love to Seattle and what they're doing offensively in terms of, you know, the scheme and everything like that, and the run game and all of that, right? But the thing to keep in mind here is, like, it's not even that they run it well, and this is what stands out about it, and people talk about this. You don't even have to run it well to sell that play action. You just got to run it just well enough to commit to it, to keep doing it, and to, again, marry the run in the past to make it look the same, so it's, you know, at that point confusing. But like, if you look at Seattle's rushing numbers, they're not toward the top of the league in any kind of statistic except rushing attempts. Like, they don't do any of it particularly well.
That's the key, though,
other than committing to actually doing it. And that's, and they also have some explosive runs in there. They're probably toward the top of the league in some like 20 plus runs. But aside from that, like, if you look at their rushes per carry, their overall rushing yards, first downs, any of that, they're not anywhere toward the top of the league in those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at attempts, they're toward the top. They're committed to it. And that's what those big explosive plays are built off of, looking exactly like those boring plays that don't get anything. So that's the thing about this offense, of how it can kind of lull you to sleep with these boring ass runs that are only a couple of yards, but they got this you know, physical back that, you know, maybe is hard to tackle, but they're not getting a lot out of it. And then next thing you know, the exact same looking play is going over your head to Jaxon Smith-Njigba or Cooper Kupp. You know, like it's one of those. Yeah. It's one of those offenses.
Another guy we wanted to be a Texan once upon a time ago, right? You remember that?
We did talk about that. We did talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know
that.
If you were on that bandwagon, but I definitely...
I would have been down for some Cooper Kupp. I don't know if I was like, you know, banging the drum.
Yeah.
But you could have sold me on Cooper Kupp.
Yeah.
At this point. Like, not being the Cooper Kupp of old, but it's like a complimentary receiver in the role that he's playing right now.
I wasn't kicking it out of bed because the number one thing that this Texans team needed at the point in time was just good, reliable pass catchers, playmakers, right?
Yeah.
Coming off of last season and all the injuries they had, the inefficiency of the offensive play calling and scheme. Yeah, I think we would have all been very happy if, in fact, the Texans would have done that.
Yeah. I'm feeling better about their playmakers now, though.
I am too. Well,
you know, the rookies, Christian Kirk still hasn't really got his feet under him, but I still feel good about that as long as he stays healthy. So I'm
the
good.
Emergence of Xavier Hutchinson has done a lot. I think, for people.
Yeah, yeah, and he got plenty of press over the last week or so, rightfully so.
Yeah,
right. So yeah, Xavier and you know Xavier Hutchinson has kind of been a camp darling or the Texans Reddit, Texans Twitter, super online Texans head is probably like Xavier Hutchinson more than most for a long time. He's probably a newer name to others than he is to people around here.
Yeah,
but that's starting to look pretty good.
You mentioned Darling. He was on with one of my darlings this week. Love Kay Adams. He was on her podcast this week, so we'll let you actually hear from Xavier Hutchinson when we return. As part of some other things that went down this past weekend, NFL Week 6, that could impact the Texans in the foreseeable future, we'll get to that next. It's The Drive on Sports Radio 610.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.